First, though, to Alice Springs. All throughout the Christmas season, Alice Springs police will run special operations to prevent a repeat of the crime waves of last summer. Last week, 45 people were arrested as part of a dedicated operation to target antisocial behaviour. It's called Operation Thresher, and it will run until the end of January, with officers cracking down on property crime and violence. But police say they've taken more than 200 people into protective custody so far already. And in addition to this, the Northern Territory Police have just appointed a new police commander for the area. That commander's name is Michael Murphy, and he joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Why does there seem to be a spike in crime during summer in the Northern Territory?
Historically, I say it's a time. Alice Springs is the service hub for Central Australia, for people in South Australia, Western Australia, Queensland, and all the outlying remote communities around Alice Springs. People tend to, coupled with school holidays too, they tend to come to Alice Springs. We've historically seen an increase in criminal activity. Last year, the community of Alice Springs experienced certain hardships relating to property crime, antisocial behaviour and violence, personal violence.
So are you suggesting then that the crime comes from outside Alice Springs? That it's people who come to Alice Springs, or is it something about the season?
It's a lot of it's environmental factors. Last year we saw a warmer than usual winter period as well. We saw people that are from outside of Alice Springs come into town. So there are people that belong to the community of Alice Springs who commit crime, but there was a significant contribution from people from outlying communities as well.
So the most
important thing is that we've been preparing for a very long time now with a lot of agencies across government and non-government across Alice Springs to ensure that crime will continue to occur, but it'll be at reduced levels. And we've got, obviously, some operations underway that address some of the criminal activity.
Property crime and violence is a pretty broad target. Do you have a more specific focus?
Yeah, look, we're particularly concerned with people who think it's okay to break into other people's houses or businesses. We basically look at an intelligence product. I'm a firm believer that we are limited in our resources. The community are our eyes and ears. We're very information dependent, so it's about reaching out to the community and getting that information to our intelligence officers who can direct our resources on an intelligence-led approach.
Is it also about more police?
Look, no, I don't think so. I think it's about how we apply those resources. It's about resourcing on a demand basis. We do have, when we look at Alice Springs, well, from the Southern Command, which is stems some 1,000 kilometres and across to the borders, we've got over 300 police. Last week we saw an additional 26 police bolster the forces in Alice Springs and basically carry out some pretty effective law enforcement activity.
So, but if it's not about more police, what exactly is the crackdown?
Well, I think it's a more strategic approach. We see one of the main things we need to focus on is youth engagement. We can see a lot of the young people involved in crime haven't really engaged in the education system. So if we take a step back and look at more of the strategic picture, it's about engaging the youth and making sure they make the right decisions earlier. The education system embraces them and they're led into the right pathway to engage that process. Mm-hmm. Then it bolsters their opportunities for employment later in life and wealth creation, home ownership, and looking at all those values around those types of things. So it is around generational change. And I think when you see the amount of young people we've locked up recently with property crime, it is quite concerning. So it's about changing their behaviours and the community's attitude.
Just quickly, 45 people arrested, 200 people in protective custody. You've barely begun. The prison's going to be able to cope with the influx?
Look, just to give you an update, we've actually effected over 100 arrests when we combine the Shiloh and Thresher operation.
Oh, that's even right. That makes the point even stronger. Can you fit them
does.
In?
And when we look at tackling alcohol abuse and substance abuse in Central Australia is significant as well. We've actually taken about 540 people into protective custody. So we've destroyed 1,500 litres of liquor and seized almost 10 kilograms of cannabis. So all those contributors are people's impaired decision-making. So removing that catalyst obviously helps us and helps people make better decisions.
Sure, but can you fit them in prison? That's my point.
Well, the prisons, and that's a question better directed at the Department of Justice for Northern Territory, but I know the prisons are very full at the moment. We do work closely with the prisons and speak to them probably four or five times a week. We have a police prison throughout the Northern Territory where we can accommodate prisoners for 28 days. But look, it is a problem, and we had to meet with corrections to say these operations are going to impact on your business and increase numbers. Not only corrections, but look at the court system too, because it does put a lot of workload into the court system.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely something to watch. Commander Michael Murphy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Hey, joined us.
Have a great Christmas.
Oh, you too. You too, although it sounds like you'll be working hard. He's joining us from Alice Springs. Still in Alice Springs is Mark O'Reilly. He's the Principal Legal Officer for the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your response to what you've just heard there?
Look, I suppose the starting point is that we recognise that the police have got a particular job to do, and that there is a response to what happened here last summer, because there was a spike in criminal activity at that stage. So our criticism isn't with what the police are doing. There are a couple of operations that are going on at the moment. The issue for us is that you have to look at this in the context of the rates of incarceration in the Northern Territory, and we have the highest incarceration rate in the country, and it's been growing over the last 10 years at least, and continues to grow. So what we're suggesting is that there needs to be some more creative response to some of the issues that are happening in the Territory.
What do you mean by that?
Well, to start off with, I mean, Michael referred to some of the broader issues around education and youth engagement. There needs to be a focus on some of the remote communities and proper resourcing of those communities in relation to looking at what the systemic problems are and trying to see if we can get some appropriate programs out into those communities which will engage some of the young people out there.
And in the meantime, the prisons are full. I don't want to put words into Michael Murphy's mouth, but when I asked him about that, it sounded like he was a little bit worried about that. What do you think?
Look, it really is an issue. We've had a situation over the last couple of weeks where some of our clients who are remanded in custody have had to remain in the watch house for up to 5 days in some cases because there hasn't been any room in the prison. And this is one of the issues I've got. Michael referred to the Operation Thresher, which is targeting antisocial behaviour, but he also referred to Operation Shiloh, which is an operation targeting warrants, unexecuted warrants. Now, again, we say, fine, that should happen if there are warrants out there, but in a lot of cases we're looking at people who have very minor types of offending who, for one reason or another, have missed their court, and when these warrants are executed, they're taken to the watch house, they're kept in custody for some period of time until matters can be brought before the court. There should be some level of discretion where the offender is looked at, the type of offending is looked at, and there's another option rather than bringing them straight to the watch house. There are other things that could happen rather than just clogging up the watch house.
Well, there are clearly going to have to be other things that happen. We're going to have to leave it there, Mark O'Reilly. Thanks for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
He's the Principal Legal Officer for the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service. It's now 13 minutes to 8. You're on Radio National Summer Breakfast.